and welcome back to the One Center podcast. This episode is a shorty but goody. Ken talks about a fresh portion of the book that he's in the middle of writing with the focus on community and connection. I would like to say this episode does speak a bit about religion. As a preface to this discussion, I would like to share a little story about my paternal grandfather. He is a man I have deep love, care, and reverence for. Nearest the end of his life, and while he was still enough, you know, to have a solid conversation with, we tread into the topic of religion. I think he had a curiosity as to why I was not able to, in my adult life, connect with the Christian God as he knew it. He was a devout Catholic and a scholar all of his days, though he had the wisdom to pressure test some of those rules and expectations that come with that. He was often called upon to do family blessings at milestone events, you know, like weddings, dinners, reunions, whatever. When he prayed, he meant it. You could feel the difference in the heart he brought to every single one of his prayers. I'm thinking back to one of my cousin's weddings. It was a traditional Christian wedding, and their vows and their toasts are often and laboriously laden with things like the wife obeying the husband, which is super yuck. And hers was very traditional and was no different. When it was his turn to take the mic at the reception, he flipped it around and made light of saying things like the husband obeying the wife. And it wasn't just once, but it was a few times in this lengthy family prayer to drive the point home. I could see that little trickster twinkle in his eye. Game saw game. He mostly kept that under wraps, but in this moment, it showed up and it mattered. It felt like a healthy move between balancing the scales, between what's expected through the lens of faith and what the actual lived experience can be. It really seemed like he respected women in a way that had evolved in a healthy way, past traditional roles. Not bad for a silent generation guy who grew up in the Great Depression with hella stressed parents and a guy who was there for Pearl Harbor. Yeah. Back to his and I's conversation on faith. He asked me, how do I know God, if at all? My response was something like, I see too much truth and beauty in religions all over the world to think that any one of them could possibly have the whole of the answer. I cannot believe, for instance, that a beautiful little boy in India would instantly be damned to hell because he had never known the existence of Christ and been baptized. Why wouldn't the gods of his homeland hold and love him? How absurd is that? This was a deeply impactful moment in my life. I wanted to respect his deep loyalty to his faith, but hold my ground as a spiritual explorer. I had not at that time articulated my position out loud, and his response, oh my God, you guys, oh my God, it was so gentle. It was so solid. It was one of those moments in my life that I had felt truly seen by a family member, which is rare, I can tell you. He responded that he thinks of God as this great and shining diamond. There are many facets to it, many ways to look at it and connect to it, but most of them lead back to the same thing. Now, that sounds an awful like the one center from which all things arise and to which all things return. It was succinct, it was brilliant like the diamond itself. 15 years later, this still stays with me. All that to say, and while my views are my own, I think there's enough overlap here with Ken and I. However you approach faith or religion, whatever lens you want to turn on spirit, or none at all, I see you. You are welcome in this space as we try to figure out the nature of human spirit and its connection to something ineffable, except through stories shared and direct experience with the divine. From the sweetest little tree spirit to uncomprehensible old and distant gods and goddesses, this life, our spirits, are a sandbox. Let's play with it. Okay, now, on to the sneak peek of Ken's up-and-coming book, Planting the Seed of Shamanism in the West. Thanks for listening.
Valerie, it's so great to see you again.
Good to see you too, Ken. We are over Zoom for those who are interested in why we keep saying see rather than hear.
Right. So I had suggested a thing for us to talk about today because I just finished this chapter in the book that I'm writing, book number 3, Planting the Seed of Shamanism in the West. And I was a little bit surprised because it was not the subject that I thought I was going to be writing about when I started writing yesterday. And yet, as I was writing, I thought, you know, it started off with the sentence to say something like, it's very difficult for people here in the West to be called to shamanism. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's, you know, we kind of said that a lot of different ways. Sure. So we just, you know, I don't want to just say that again. So, but, you know, one of the big things that is most difficult is that this is a practice that by its nature, it's so important for us to be connected. It's so important for us to feel a sense of community and connection and union. And yet we live in a culture where that is antithetical to how we are supposed to view the world around us and how we live in it. Okay, so you have, on the one hand, you have this hyper-materialistic perspective that yes. is part of the postmodern Western perspective. On the other hand, you have this realization that we're all connected, that there is only one center, it just happens to be everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. This is a big disconnect. And yeah. it's so important to realize that and to be able to work with that, right? So yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Oh, that's such a good convo. I look forward to digging into that.
Glad to hear it. So, to begin with, I just want to say again, it is really difficult to find ourselves in this position where, on the one hand, we're supposed to be agreeing with these ideas that everything is dead matter, right? That spirits are just imagination, and that the only thing that matters is the rugged individualist and how well they earn money or, you know, whatever. You know, very antithetical to what we're working with in this field of shamanism. Mm-hmm. And that transition, that movement from that materialistic perspective to the animistic perspective of the shaman is oftentimes rather painful. And I say painful because before we're born, we have that sense of being part of this very large communal self that is the ancestral soul, right? And then we're born, and all of a sudden we have, in addition to that, we have an individual self. An individual self that we come to talk about as the vital soul. And at the same time, we're supposed to, you know, we're born into a culture, we're born into a society that we are drawn to connect with, right? That communal sense that we are born from wants to connect. And isn't it sad that the very thing that we are drawn to connect with is so against that connection, against the depth of union that we're looking for, and goes, you know, actually rails against it, preaches against it. You know, you go to just about any church service of any organized religion, you're going to get this is at best, imagination, at worst, demonic, right?
Yeah. So. And I think that the period that we're in particular really speaks to how we as people are outgrowing those old ways of getting our spirits met. And it's sort of blossoming back into, well, where did this all begin? Where did our spirit begin? When did we know what spirit even was? And how does that make sense here? Because these old, very rigid, very structured, sometimes really culty religions that exist in today's world that are here for the sole purpose of making some weirdo a lot of money, right? And we're saying no to that. A lot of people are saying no to that. So I think we're in that spiritual dead space because we can't connect with that which our parents or grandparents had. So we're in a space like, well, where do we go from here? What does that look like? Some people just deaden to it. They're like, okay, I guess I'll do the money thing. But, you know, some of us are like, I really need this connection.
You kind of point to, though, a very important and something that is really great to see, and that is that so many people now are rejecting the world that they were born into, the world they were raised in, the beliefs that they were raised with, and choosing something deeper, more in union, more connection, much more like post-tribal shamanism.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting. I mean, why that is, you know, there's a lot of theories about that. But, you know, when you look at the statistics, the people who actually say, I read the Bible and I believe in God and I'm part of this organized religion are dropping like flies. I mean, they're just diminishing. The numbers are diminishing.
Yeah.
There are fewer and fewer people now who are saying, I completely accept everything that I was born into and trained into than possibly ever before.
Right.
And of those people who are rejecting that, I can only assume that some part of them, some number of them can and will come toward a more animistic, pluralistic, connected perspective.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting.
I've certainly seen signs of that in the sense that there are more and more people who are reading the books and asking the questions and actually doing the work necessary to become more connected, to become more in union with the ancestor spirits, with the ancestral soul, with the celestial soul, and so on. So that's really exciting to me. I think it gives us hope.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
Let's see if we had anything else to add to that conversation. I just wanted to acknowledge and recognize the movement that I see happening all over the place where so many people are recognizing, wow, I really do need a community to be part of. I just saw this little video. It was meant to be funny, but I think it really pointed to something really important where we're at. It was this psychoanalyst who was like, you know, I see all these people who are suffering. They come into my office, and what I have to give them are the chemicals to help their brain to build more serotonin, to do whatever it is in service to them. But what I really want to do is write a script for a best friend. What I really want to do is write a script for community. What I really want to do is help them build the social support around them to live a healthier life. Unfortunately, what I have is chemicals, but what they really need, and I see it, is this. And that was really poignant to me.
Yeah, I think one of the most fascinating things I have heard over the past 20 years is a research study that they did of Vietnam vets coming out of that war and who were addicted. In Vietnam, they became addicted to heroin. And when they moved back here, they tried to go straight. And what they found is that if that person had a community that they were connected with that was welcoming them back, they almost always were able to break the addiction and go straight.
Right. If
didn't, they weren't.
Community matters a lot.
Yeah.
It sure, it's not a fix-all, but man, if you got people around you that'll show up when you need to move a box or a couch.
Right.
It's all those little things that add up.
Yeah, and that's basically what I wanted to say with this whole thing is that isn't it ironic that one of the most important elements of this work is community? And we are born into a place where community is really difficult to make happen and to maintain.
Yeah. You know? Geography. Half of my friends are in Ohio. And they take me four or 5 hours to drive to.
You'll fix that. I'm confident.
Someday.
Okay.
That's a wrap for this episode. If you like what you've heard, please give us a subscribe and leave us a review. You can connect with us through email at onecenterpod, onecenterpod, @gmail.com with any questions or kindly comments. Ken can be found, KENNDAY, on Insight Timer, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook if you wanted to follow on the socials. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.